I think adversity is a wild card. I think anyone who's going through something in their life at the moment where they're being told that they're not good enough at something, or they're not skilled enough at something, or they should be this way or should be that way, you're going to do either one of two things. You're going to stop being yourself and try and mold yourself to be someone that someone else wants you to be. Or two, you're going to get that chip on your shoulder and use that as motivation to be more of who you are than ever before. That's what's going to happen. I think as humans, when we don't receive that compassion, understanding, or sense of approval that we'd like to build our self-esteem, we put up this wall, or we put up a fight saying, I'm going to show you, or I'm not going to show you anything. It's kind of what we do in rebellion. And I'm trying to understand why that is. And it comes back to the point of the fact that we want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to be acknowledged. That's why we do that. That's why when we're told, for example, like I was told I was a poor kid. I had family friends express to my family members that I'm wasting my life, and someone who has a university degree shouldn't be doing whatever I was doing then. And the first question I had was, why are we still friends with this person? But secondly, it makes me think about how much I value those who do the exact opposite. The people who are not toxic in my life, you know, my core 11 people who encourage, support, and love me unconditionally to allow me to be exactly how I am. And I'm not a perfect person. I know I'm seriously flawed, but I always lead with the right intention. That's what I kind of use as my compass, my intention. My intention never is to hurt, harm, or make anyone else sad. And when I hear things about school kids or even adults, I mean, when you think about life, the playground doesn't change. I mean, life as an adult, it's still a playground, and there's still bullies, and there's still friends, and there's groups and cliques and teachers and supervisors. That part doesn't change. But I think what changes is your internal compass as to who you're going to be friends with, who you're going to seek to for guidance, which teachers you're going to be gravitated towards to, who is going to be your tribe that you're going to hang out with and have lunch with and recess with, or whatever you want to call it, playtime. I think sometimes we forget that we have that choice when we get older. We don't have to be friends with the toxic people in our life who, for the sake of the fact that we've been friends with them for 10 years, we have to be friends with them for 10 more. If they're not serving you in where you are in your life at the moment, then I don't understand why we still hold on to that. It's like holding on to a negativity or a cancer that you know is not good for you, but you just hold on to it because, oh, well, they've been my friend. I'm too scared to hurt them. They've been hurting you with what they've been saying. It's not good for anyone. And it's also, it's a relationship, right? So if you're tolerating them for the sake of history, you're not teaching them to be any different. You're not giving them any kind of indication that their behavior and their words are hurting people, because you're hanging around, right? For me, what I think about when I look at my core 11 people is each soul in my tribe, the people that I value the most on this earth, they all have a quality that I love, admire, and aspire to be like. And yes, they have their flaws, as do I, but they don't ever lead with their flaws. They lead with kindness, and they lead with love and acceptance and unconditional love. That's what I aspire to do. And that's who I aspire to be.